How many of you are familiar with a man named Albert Mohler? Wow. Albert Mohler is the president of Southern Baptist University, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And here's what he said this week. He said, "Belief in the bodily resurrection is not merely foundational according to Scripture, it is essential." And he was responding to a survey done by Scripps Howard, Ohio University, that was published a couple weeks ago. And here's what the survey reports. It says that 36% of adults believe in the resurrection of the body. 36% of adults in the U.S. That means that 55% do not, and 10% aren't sure. Dr. Mohler is also responding to the Right Reverend N.T. Wright, who was Anglican Bishop of Durham, who was quoted in an article in The Australian last week where he said this. He said, "I have friends who I am quite sure are Christians who do not believe in the bodily resurrection." And then Mohler calls the Right Reverend Wright's thoughts a truly dangerous and unbiblical assertion. And there's more to the article. In the same article, Philip Hughes, who was part of Australia's Christian Research Association, says this. He says, "A lot of liberal Christians would say resurrection is really about Jesus coming back to his followers in a new form, and it was not a physical form. As far as a lot of people in the pews are concerned, I don't think the exact form of the resurrection is critical." And then the Right Reverend writes, it's fun to say, agrees. He says, "It's not that modern Western culture makes it difficult to believe in the resurrection. It's always been difficult, indeed, impossible to believe in the resurrection. In the ancient world, nobody believed it." Our main attraction tonight, in this corner, weighing in on the right, the reigning intellectual in the evangelical movement in the U.S., Dr. Albert Mohler. And in this corner, weighing in on what's left, one of today's best known and respected New Testament scholars, the Right Reverend Dr. N.T. Tom Wright. People can get up in arms about the variety of beliefs among people who follow Christianity. As far as I know, there is no boxing match scheduled between Dr. Albert Mohler and the Right Reverend Wright. However, they do disagree. And they disagree about whether or not it's okay to disagree too. The problem of, especially this one here, the resurrection, the problem of who believes in the resurrection of the dead and who doesn't, is a lot older than you'd think. What do you think would prompt Paul to write this part that we had in Scripture today? Such a detailed presentation defending the resurrection of the dead. Why would the ancient and still valid creeds of the church make it a point to say, for instance, from the Nicene Creed, "We look for the resurrection of the dead"? Incidentally, in the Da Vinci Code notwithstanding, this creed did not invent Jesus as the Son of God. You ever heard that? The Da Vinci Code movie comes out in a few weeks. The Council of Nicaea that put together the creed in 325, they did it at the behest of Emperor Constantine, that's true, to promote religious peace within the empire, because many leaders were offering different beliefs about the deity of Jesus, about the resurrection of Jesus, about all kinds of things about Jesus. And, well, when people fight about religious things, what happens? Wars. Yeah, things just get ugly. They really do. And things were getting ugly then. Things could get ugly now. Things do get ugly now. How about the Apostles' Creed? We say this one at St. Matthew. Not often we do the Nicene Creed, but they're both ancient and still valid creeds of the church. In the Apostles' Creed, there's a "I believe in" with a whole bunch of statements afterwards. One of them is the resurrection of the body. So why would these ancient and still valid creeds make it a point to say this? Well, because in ancient times, just like now, people aren't and weren't in agreement about what the resurrection means or meant. Paul connects the resurrection of our bodies to the resurrection of Jesus, saying that if resurrection doesn't happen, then Jesus wasn't raised. And if Jesus wasn't raised, then the whole thing is for naught. Or more precisely, from verse 19, "If for this life only we have hoped for in Christ, we of all people are the most to be pitied." Then he says that since Jesus has been raised, then we will all be raised. How many of you had difficulty following that passage? Tell me some of the things you thought about during that passage. Shopping list, anybody? What you had for breakfast or didn't have for breakfast? Yeah, is that what you were thinking?
No, we had a debate
about
this week, so this is really good
that you're... About the resurrection?
Yes. Yeah, what if Christ and God are here and they lead us through our life, but then when you die, you die, you never...
And that's it.
Yeah.
A lot of people said that. That was part of the debate, and it still is part of the debate. But the logic that Paul has here, I don't quite get it, because he says, Christ has been raised. And then he says, how can you say that the dead are not raised to life? How can you say that the resurrection does not occur? Because if that can't occur, then Jesus wasn't raised. But since Jesus was raised, then therefore we will all be raised. And that therefore part, that I have trouble making that jump from Jesus was raised from the dead and therefore we all will be raised. It doesn't mean I don't believe it, but I have trouble with that logic. And I wonder, is it okay to believe something like this? That a time will come where we, all who have died in Christ, will be resurrected with Christ, yet not agree with the logic that Paul uses to get there? Or is it okay to think that the resurrection of the body isn't the same scientific thing as reanimation of the exact molecules that were present in a person's body when they were alive for the first time? Or is it okay to think that when Jesus was resurrected, that his body wasn't exactly the same physical body as when he died just a few days before? Or is it okay to remove scientific certainty from an ancient book and ancient creeds? And those are heavy questions, and I will not offer you the answers to them. But let me tell you what I do believe. I believe that Jesus was a real person. I believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. I believe that on the third day he rose from the dead. And I cannot explain the science behind it, or exactly what it looked like. I don't completely get it, but I believe it. I believe that a time is coming when all who have died will be raised. I don't know how scientifically that all, what that all means, and how it all works, and what it looks like, and will there be like swirls of dust, and you know, bodies forming, and people who were cremated being reformed, and people whose bodies were there, you know, just coming up and being reanimated, like in Ezekiel, with the valley of the dry bones, and muscles forming on there. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, how it's going to be. I believe it's going to happen, but I can't tell you a scientific certainty as to what that is, what that exactly means. Statements that come out from more liberal theologians. Marcus Borg is a good example. That say something like, Jesus did not physically rise from the dead. And there is no resurrection of the body. Are a whole lot deeper than they sound. On the surface, they sound like, the Bible's not true. And when you hear that, sometimes that's what you think. A person saying, the Bible's not true. I don't know exactly what the statements mean. I haven't talked to Dr. Borg. I haven't talked to any of the theologians that say things like this, like Bishop Spong. They could mean that since science can't explain something like that, it's not possible. They could not mean that. I can't explain the resurrection. I can't explain how Jesus came back to life. I can't explain how I believe that in the future that all who have died in Christ will be raised. I have one explanation. I gave it to the confirmands today. Who's confirmands who are here? How do you know that the dead will be raised? Yeah, I didn't ask him this question, but it was the answer to question 9. God did it. There we go. God's going to do it. That's the only explanation I have. I asked them about being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus. And I said, okay, here's a tree, and we're branches on the tree. And how do we get to be branches on the tree? And they said, I said, okay, write this down. It's the answer to question 9 from something else. How did the church grow? God did it. I said, how do you get to be a branch on a tree? Or how did you get to be a branch on the tree? What is it again? Let's say it really loud. Okay, now let's see if everyone can say that. How do you get to be a follower of Jesus? Or how did you get to be a follower of Jesus?
God did it.
There. God does it. God did it. God is doing it. God will do it. What if a person doesn't believe these things that I believe, though? What if they don't believe Jesus was a real person, or that he was crucified, that he died and was buried, or that he rose from the dead, or that there is resurrection of the dead coming? Is it impossible for them to follow Jesus? The Right Reverend Wright says that Dr. Borg, Marcus Borg, loves Jesus, even though he denies physically the resurrection. And Dr. Moeller says, no, it can't be. That's why he says that it's foundational and essential to believe in the bodily resurrection. But what if someone doesn't believe that? Another heavy question, and I'm not going to offer you an answer. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. Jesus came to give us life. God has done all the work. Say it with me. God did it. Say, God's doing it. There is nothing at all, you don't have to say this part, there is nothing at all that we can ever do to earn God's love or God's grace or God's favor. Jesus gave us two foundational and essential rules. Do you remember what they are? What are they? Say them. It wasn't quite unison. We're not quite there, but you got it. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's try it unison. Say, love God.
Love God.
Say, love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Those are two easy rules to recognize, not such easy rules to follow, but those are the foundational and essential rules that Jesus gave us. Now, questions about our faith, questions about our experience with God, understanding of the Bible, even belief about the resurrection have been around for a long, long time, and they're not going to end with us. But I believe that we will continue to study. We will continue to doubt. We will continue to struggle. We will continue to reject, misunderstand God's revelation for as long as we breathe and way past the time when we stop breathing. I believe that God has given us minds to think and the ability to learn. And some can believe simply because they believe. And others ask a whole lot more questions. And I believe that God's neighborhood is big enough for the doubters and for the believers. God's neighborhood is big enough for everyone, even the people of the Ornery Church.